Welcome to the Execute Podcast, where we talk all things Utah football. What's up, everybody? This is Carson Buckley, your host here on the Execute Podcast. Welcome back into the show. Let's go ahead and talk about some Utah football. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about for this episode, so let's go ahead and jump into it. I am thinking about maybe doing some video podcast type things. Spotify has recently come out with a feature where you can upload video to your podcast. And then, of course, I would probably just post that on YouTube as well. If I ended up just doing videos and, you know, for my podcast. So let me know if that's something you guys would enjoy and would like me to do. Just to give you guys a way of, you know, seeing this beautiful, beautiful mug behind this silky smooth voice of mine. Just to give you guys a little bit more personal look at myself. And then I would love to just interact more with you guys. I personally hate being on camera. So if you guys don't want me to do that, A-okay with me. But I was thinking maybe it'd be a fun way to kind of just, you know, give you guys a little bit more content and stuff like that. Let me know. Like I said, got a lot to talk about. We're just going to jump into it. We're not going to do any of the pre-intro type stuff on this one. Yes, spring ball, you know, it just ended. We talked about that last week. But we do have a bunch of players on our roster that have decided to enter the transfer portal. We'll talk about that, and then we'll talk about the NFL draft. Just give our thoughts on everything kind of going on lately this past week with the Utes. But the first thing I did want to mention was there was an interesting little event that happened during this past week, and that was our local commitment out of Tooele, Matiaki Helu. He decommitted from the Utes, and then I think later that same day recommitted and posted on Twitter there was some miscommunication going on. So I thought I'd bring it up. I don't know what that was all about. He does have a lot of other offers and visits lined up coming up here in the near future. So I don't know if that is something that we should read into at all, as him potentially wanting to check out another destination and potentially sign with another destination. I really hope we keep this kid because he is a dynamic athlete and an absolute playmaker. He had like 200 and okay, you know what? I'm not even going to throw out these numbers because it was so long ago when he committed, when I read him. But he was averaging like 10 yards a carry at running back or something insane. Go ahead and look it up. I won't lie and, you know, make up false numbers for all of us. But one thing I do want to know, this just smells like BYU has got their greasy little Built Bar fingers all over this one. The second he decommitted from us and then recommitted, the first thing that came to my mind was BYU is messing with this kid. They're tampering with this guy. They're trying to get him, pull him away from Utah and, you know, give this kid a lifelong deal or a lifelong supply of Built Bars. That's immediately what came to my head when I saw that. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it really was just some sort of misunderstanding. And Matiaki ends up staying with us because he's a playmaker, like I said. I loved everything I saw in his film when I watched it when he first committed to us. And I think he's probably going to blow up a little bit more in the recruiting process as it gets closer to his time to sign with us. So I would love to keep that, this kid, Matiaki Helu. Don't want to lose that guy. But now on to the transfer portal news. We've had a number of players that have entered the transfer portal this past week or so. And this is to be expected during this time of the year. It's after spring ball. It's before the May 1st deadline where you can transfer with no penalty. And so this is something that we should expect every single year. And every program expects this. And this happens all over the country. I know there's at least 1,000 or 2,000 players in the portal right now. And, you know, obviously a lot of that just came from, you know, just these past couple of weeks, as all of the teams around the country have wrapped up their spring football schedules. But yeah, so there are a number of guys that we are losing to the transfer portal. Just to list them off, we've got Ben Renfro, who was a safety slash wide receiver for us. He entered the portal. Kamoi Latu, safety, entered the portal. Carson Tabarachi, linebacker, entered the portal. Kyrese Rowan, wide receiver, is in the portal. And Drew Rawls, cornerback for us, is in the portal. So 5 players for us have entered the portal. I know there were actually a couple of other guys that entered the portal as well. I didn't think it would be necessary to list them because they were never contributors for us. If they were, it was just very limited special teams work. And nothing against those kids. Wish every one of these guys the best of luck moving forward. But yes, our 5 of our scholarship athletes have entered the transfer portal and are looking for greener hills, greener pastures, whatever the saying is. They're looking for an opportunity where they can go and get more playing time. Ben Renfro is a kid that we didn't see a lot of, if any. I'm sure he got special teams reps, but you know, when this is just me, when there's special teams plays going on, I'm only watching the punter or kicker and the punter slash kick returner. That's all I'm really looking at. I'm not watching anyone else. I'm not knowledgeable enough of the game to pay attention to the other 10 guys on that special teams unit. So, you know, I'm sure he was on special teams, getting some time there, probably not much. It's sad to see him go, but, you know, maybe he can find a nice spot at like a group of 5 Mountain West school and he can go be, you know, a pretty good defensive back or receiver for them. Kamoi Latu, this is a bigger one. This is a bigger loss than Ben Renfro. we all know who Kamoi Latu is. Safety that committed to us during that 2020 class with Clark Phillips, Van Fillinger, Nate Ritchie, those guys. And we saw him this season get some reps. His big notable standout game of the season was the USC game where he earned Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Week, I believe. It was some sort of Pac-12 award. And maybe it was defensive freshman, defensive player. I don't know. He earned a Pac-12 of the Week player award during that game. So, but yeah, it's a loss. At worst, he was a really good depth piece. At best, maybe he, you know, as the years continued to go on, Maybe we could have had him develop even more and become a really big time starting contributor for us, potentially get drafted. He looked like he had that kind of potential to me. I don't think the physical side of the game was his issue. I think it was just, you know, getting the mental stuff down and, you know, learning when to make the right reads and when to make, you know, certain plays at certain times, different things like that. Because I love the way he tackled. He was a missile, just killing dudes. He was always just trucking guys, hitting people as hard as he could every single time, which is going to get you some flags, but that's the kind of football I like watching. He's like a junior Marquise Blair. So it's sad to see him go. He's definitely a loss for sure. But best of luck. You know, he could be the best safety in the Mountain West if he decided to, you know, pursue some sort of G5 option like that. Maybe he ends up going back home to Hawaii and playing for them, which is in the Mountain West. You know, we'll see what happens. Next one is Carson Taburachi. This one came as a shocker to me when I first saw the news, but it makes sense when you really kind of dig in a little bit more. Yes, he was doing very well for a freshman. We were hearing great things about him from Kyle Whittingham during this whole spring time. He was someone that I think everyone was excited about to watch him develop over the years for us. He had offers from Ohio State, USC, I believe Notre Dame, you know, teams like that. He had offers from them. So it's kind of surprising to see him transfer right after his first spring, just showed up on campus, and then decides to bounce. But if you look at our roster, which I am going to actually go and do right now, you will see that this is actually, it shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone, because we are disgustingly loaded at linebacker, even with the loss of Devin Lloyd and Nephi Sewell. But yeah, here we are, UtahUtes.com, looking at the football roster. We've got Lander Barton, freshman. Ethan Calvert, freshman. Josh Calvert, sophomore. Muhammad Diabate, senior. Hayden Fury, junior. Lolani Longi, freshman. Andrew Matafa, junior. Medlock, freshman. Kareni Reed, sophomore. Mason Tufanga, freshman. Sione Tuha, sophomore. Sire Woods, senior. And then that's not even mentioning Sione Fotu, who's going to be returning from his mission relatively soon, who will be a freshman. We're loaded. We're loaded at linebacker. How many is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 with Sione Fotu. It's a very loaded, stacked, competitive room. Finding playing time, you've got to be an absolutely elite linebacker to, you know, earn a starting position in that room. And you've got to be pretty dang close to elite if you want to, you know, get some rotational reps. So you can't really blame the kid for seeing the writing on the wall and deciding, you know what, I could stick around for another year, two or three, and hopefully it pans out for me. It's risky. You know, maybe I have a better chance of hitting the portal, and, you know, I'm sure he'll have some schools that are interested in his talents, and he can probably go be a pretty early starter for them, if not a big contributor. So yeah, it doesn't. I mean, when you have guys like Lander Barton and Muhammad Diabate, the Calvert brothers, Justin Medlock, Mason Tufanga. I mean, I don't need to go through the whole list again, but pretty much all of our linebackers are you know, their potential is elite, if not very close to elite. So, and then the guys that aren't, you know, don't have the elite ceilings, they've got very high floors and have been with the program for a while, like guys like Hayden Fury. So you can't blame the kid. You really can't. It's sad to see him go. I'm going to miss you, Carson. You know, it was nice to have a Carson on the team to root for. Oh, I'm actually looking. There's a Carson Danner who's a linebacker on our roster. So, you know, I guess I'll root for him. But yeah, sad to see him go. Good luck in your next destination, Carson Tapparacci. All right. This one is actually in – this is my opinion. This is the biggest transfer that's going to hurt us. It's Kyrese Rowan, the wide receiver, 5'10", I believe. Let me scroll up. Let's see, where is he? 5'10", 182, sophomore wide receiver out of Ogden, Utah. He wears number 0. He got some action during the spring game. He got action on special teams last season. He was a former walk-on, earned a scholarship. I actually mentioned him by name on our on the last episode last week, saying that he's my guy that I want to have replace Britton Covey as punt returner, just from what I've seen from him on film and in the spring game. Very quick, shifty, twitchy, fast wide receiver, dynamic with the ball in his hands. I was really excited to see him potentially, you know, get some time at slot for us as well as returner. But it sounds like his scholarship got pulled. He didn't want to leave the Utes. He wanted to stay, but they pulled his scholarship. And they basically told him, pack your bags. You got to go, you know, find somewhere else to play. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know why that's the case. It honestly really sucks. I don't – a lot of times when guys transfer, I'm okay. This one, it doesn't make me happy. I think it's we're not loaded at wide receiver like we are at linebacker or safety. Yeah, especially, you know, slot receiver, we do have some guys that are really good, like Money Parks, Jalen Dixon, you know, some quick shorter receivers like that, but we don't have much else other than those two, you know, just off the top of my head. And I think Kyrese Rowan absolutely had the skill set to compete for a starting position. So I don't know the story behind them pulling his scholarship. I don't know the reasoning, but it sucks. Don't like seeing that. I think he was going to have a pretty good year this year. You know, of course, if he stuck around for us. So really sucks to see him go. And then the last one, Drew Rawls, cornerback for us. Saw a little bit of him in the spring game. I can't remember if he had an interception or not, but, you know, made a couple of plays. You know, this one, he was depth. He was some pretty good depth, but didn't really look like he was ever going to be able to earn a starting position just because we've got some absolute dogs in our cornerback room. So, you know, it is what it is. This is college football. This is the transfer portal era. You're going to lose some guys, even if you don't want to lose them. You're going to lose guys. The good news is, if you've been paying attention, these last 2 years of Utah football in the off season, we have absolutely killed it in bringing in guys to our program from the portal. So I don't see why we'd stop now. After going to the Rose Bowl, winning the Pac-12, I don't see us stopping now. Get ready to see some 4-star dudes transferring into our program here in the coming months and weeks. You can pretty much count on that happening. I don't see why that would change. So that's the good news as far as the transfer portal goes. Okay, now let's move on to the NFL draft. You know, 3-day event just finished up here just the other day. I mean, let's just start. Let's just start with the obvious first round pick, Devin Lloyd. Picked 27th overall, headed to Jacksonville. Honestly, listen. Let's just say I have family that are big Packers fans, and the Packers had the 22nd pick in the draft, and they decided to choose a linebacker who wasn't Devin Lloyd and who wasn't even N'Kobe Dean. The other, you know, there were two linebackers in this draft that everyone was debating, okay, which one's best? We got our top two linebackers in the draft, Devin Lloyd and N'Kobe Dean. Who's better? You know, that was the debate. And of course, Devin Lloyd's better, and we all know that, but that was the debate. Packers decide to take a linebacker, and it wasn't even one of those top two linebackers. It was another linebacker from Georgia who I'm sure is great. I mean, that Georgia defense is one of the best ever. I'm sure he's good. But come on, you got to pick Devin Lloyd at 22. So although I have family that are Packers fans, I'm pissed, man. I hate that. I don't know what they're thinking. 27th, that's honestly too late for Devin Lloyd. He's a top 10 talent in this draft, but that's okay. Still first rounder. He'll be headed to Jacksonville, and hopefully they don't suck too much nut sack. So, you know, we don't want his career to get ruined just because he went to a not very good organization, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see. But regardless, he's a baller, so he'll be just fine. That was the only pick. That was the only draft pick from the Utes this year, which really, really shocked me. We did have a number of guys that signed undrafted free agent deals. I think there were seven. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yep, 7 so far, at least. I know there's still time for guys to land on rosters, guys like TJ Pledger that can potentially still land on a roster. But yeah, so far, 7 guys signed undrafted free agent deals. We got Nephi Sewell to the Saints, Nick Ford to the Jaguars, Britton Covey to the Eagles, Bam Olaseni to the Raiders, Mika Tafua to the Cowboys, Cole Fotheringham to the Raiders, and Hawati Pututau to the Packers. I'll be honest, I'm not a big NFL guy, so I can't give you very good in-depth analysis into every guy's destination and how they're going to fit into their scheme and their roster and what we can expect to see from them. I can't give you that. You can go look up Utah Utes Football Digest on YouTube. He did a video where he can give you more information on that stuff, and I recommend it. That guy does a good job, so shout out. I don't know, probably doesn't listen to me, but I listen to him. So anyways, go check that guy out for more in-depth NFL stuff for the Utes. But here's the thing. I was curious, and so because honestly, I thought Bam Olaseni was going to get drafted. I thought it was going to be in the later rounds, but I thought he would get drafted because he's a 6'8", 330-pound freaking monster that literally shut down Kayvon Thibodeau in 2 games, twice, not just once, twice. So I thought that would at least get him drafted in the 7th round, and he still didn't get drafted. This was actually a very weird draft. I didn't watch it, but from what I can gather online, a lot of people on Twitter are saying a lot of really good players that should have been drafted didn't get drafted. So I don't know. I don't know what the deal was. I don't know if the weird COVID year from, you know, the COVID season from 2020 is still somehow affecting things. I'm not sure. But yeah, I'm surprised Olesenni didn't get drafted. I'm not as surprised Nick Ford didn't. I mean, he's good, but Olesenni, man, he's a one of a kind. Like, you don't find 6'8", 330-pound tackles that can shut down the fifth overall pick in two games. Like, how do you not, how does that guy not get drafted? Like, what else do you have to do? And I hear the stupid arguments. Oh, well, he's raw. Yeah, he is raw. Okay. He shut down Kayvon Thibodeau. Like, he literally made Kayvon Thibodeau irrelevant twice in a row. I don't know. Okay, whatever. But anyways, I was curious. So I took a look at all of the youths that were drafted and signed free agent deals this draft. I went and took a look at their rating on 24/7 Sports coming out of high school. And it's actually really interesting to look at, because we all have seen how Utah's been recruiting recently over the last few years. We're landing some four-star guys. We're landing mostly high three-star dudes. And then, you know, we're getting a good amount of four-star guys now. And this never happened before. So, you know, all these guys that, you know, all of these youths that have landed on rosters in this draft, they've been with the program for a while, a number of years. So, you know, this was before our time of landing multiple four-star guys every year. So it's something to be excited about, because as the years kind of, you know, during these next couple years, when we see our upperclassmen and our starters who are four-stars from when we recruited them a few years ago, and it's time for them to declare for the draft, they're going to get picked higher. They're going to go in the first, second, third, fourth rounds. Let me tell you the ratings of these guys. Devin Lloyd was a two-star, and he's a first-rounder. Imagine what we're going to do with our borderline five-star Lander Barton in a few years. Nephi Sewell, low two-star, like low. He wasn't even rated an 80, if I remember correctly. He was like a 78. That's like one of the worst ratings you can get coming out of high school. Low two-star, and he was one of the best linebackers in the Pac-12, and now he's on the New Orleans Saints. Nick Ford, low three-star, barely even a three-star. Now think about guys like Satoa Lamea, who's a four-star. I'm trying to think. Jaron Kump, almost a four-star. Braden Daniels, I mean, I don't know Braden Daniels' rating, actually, but I think he's a mid to high three-star, if I remember correctly. So, you know, we take a low three-star dude, and he's in the NFL now. Britton Covey, low three-star, barely even a three-star. And he probably would have been drafted if he didn't go on a mission and he didn't get injured for multiple years and he was younger. That's his only problem with, you know, for these NFL GMs and organizations is his age. If you just erased his age on his birth certificate and you told these NFL GMs that he was 20 instead of 25 or whatever he is, he would have gotten drafted in like the second round. It's so stupid. I mean, Steve Smith played wide receiver until he was 37. So it's like, okay, so you don't want to draft a dude that's 25 years old, but he still could play for another 10, 15 years. Honestly, like, come on. It's so stupid. Anyways, I'm rambling. I'm going on a tangent. Bam Olesenni, he was a four-star, but he came from England, didn't play football growing up. He went to a JUCO community college and was only, you know, playing real football with the Utes for 2-3 years or so. Like most of our players, they've been playing football for at least a couple of years before coming to Utah. Bam, he wasn't. So yes, he was a 4-star. That was probably just based off of his size alone. But now he's in the NFL. If he, you know, if we had him for another year or two, he's probably a 3rd-round pick at, you know, maybe even higher. Mika Tafua, he's a 3-star, you know, defensive end. He's in the NFL. And honestly, if he didn't get injured during this last half of the season, probably would have got drafted. Cole Fotheringham, mid 3-star. You know, he's a good blocker. He's in the NFL. Hawati Putatau, 2-star. He was a 2-star. And he's in the NFL. So my point with this is, all of these, there was only one 4-star, Bam Oleseni. He was only playing real football for like 3 years. And now he's in the NFL. So if you look at our roster and all of our starters now, like look at Mika Tafua. He's a 3-star. He's in the NFL. Now look at who we're bringing in now. Van Fillinger, 4-star. He's probably going to get drafted. You know, if he, you know, just projecting his progress, if he takes a step forward this year, I mean, if it's a big step this year, he could get drafted this year. If he sticks around another year and takes another step, he's probably going to get drafted. Linebackers, same thing. Maybe Mohamed Diabate just absolutely kills it and gets drafted this year. You know, Calvert Brothers, assuming Ethan gets healthy, he was a borderline 5-star. You know, if Colton Swan sticks around, coaches him up just like how he coached up Devin Lloyd. Same with Landon Barton. He coaches these two borderline 5-star linebackers up, and they can become a similar type of player as Devin Lloyd as far as their production, football IQ, you know, things like that. Those are first-round linebackers right there. Nick Ford, I mean, we've got some dudes on our O-line. You know, you coach those guys up, they can get drafted. We saw it with Garrett Bowles. We've seen some linemen get drafted out of the U. We know it can happen. You know, we can get some guys drafted there. Brent Covey, wide receiver. I mean, he's a slot wide receiver, but, you know, assuming Devon Vele stays healthy this year, he's getting drafted. Because that dude looks like one of those 5-star receivers out of USC, like a Drake London or Brew McCoy or, Micah Pittman. That's Devon Vele looks like one of those star USC receivers. So if he stays healthy this year, he's probably getting drafted. But yeah, and then Cole Fotheringham, he's a mid 3-star. Look at Brant Keithy and Dalton Kincaid. Those guys are definitely going to get drafted, especially Dalton Kincaid, who is staying at the U. Didn't hear me mention it last week because I knew all of those rumors were horse crap. Just saying. And yeah, Hawati Putatau. I mean, dude, look at Junior Tafuna. Dude's going to get drafted. So my point is the future looks good. Even though we only had one guy drafted this year, we're going to have some more guys drafted in the near future. And look, I didn't even mention like any of our safeties or our corners or, you know, I mean, a quarterback. Who knows what Cam's going to do this year? So my point is we'll see. I know one draft pick is disappointing this year. We were expecting more. I was expecting 2 or 3 at the minimum. But I think this next year we're going to have 4 or 5 at least, if not more, depending on what happens. I mean, this is just very, very early guessing with zero scientific analysis behind it. But I mean, I think Cam could get drafted this next year. I think Tavion Thomas could. I think, let's see, O-line. I think Braden Daniels could. Satoa Laumea. Wide receiver. Devon Bailey.
Who else is there? I think that's probably it for receiver. Tight end, Keithy and Kincaid. Okay, I think that's it for offense. That's eight on offense that could get drafted, I think. Switching defense, Diabate, if he becomes what we think he can get drafted at linebacker. Junior Tafuna, I think he'd be eligible, and if he takes a step forward, I think he could. Van Fillinger, he might. Let's see. Let's move on to corner. Clark Phillips, for sure. JT Broughton, he could for sure. I think that might be at a corner. Safety. Cole Bishop, I think, is still too young. RJ Huber, oh, man. That one's tough because I think he could, but the injury history is going to be tough. Clayton Isbell, I mean, we'll see. We'll see what he does. I don't know much about him. I'm excited for him. But my point is, that's five. No, you know, no safeties or anything. That's five guys on defense. So eight on offense, five on defense. That I think, assuming they have the season that we think they should, you know, and this is assuming they all take a step forward from this previous season. That's 13 guys drafted. And look, I know we're not going to get 13 guys drafted. I'm not saying that. I'm saying there are 13 guys that I think could get drafted. And of course, not all of them will. So let's just say you take half of those and we'll even, you know, 13's an odd number. So we'll just say, let's say less than half, six get drafted. Pretty damn good. So just be excited. Don't get too discouraged about this. I know we're not. We're excited to see these guys that sign free agent deals. And, of course, Devin Lloyd, who is a first rounder. We are absolutely excited to see them ball out. And it should continue to help us recruit, which will help us get more guys in the league, which will help us win more games, which will help us recruit. And the cycle continues. So be excited for the future. All right, and that's going to do it for the Execute podcast today. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure to send in those emails. Follow us on Twitter. Go to Berserker pre-workout. Get berserker.com. Promo code Execute, 25% off your order. Rate us 5 stars on Apple and Spotify. Thank you all so much. Love you all. Good night. Good morning. See you guys next time.